If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin to read with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, again tonight, we are studying the thought of clear branch, past, present, and future. And these are probably going to cross over back and forth. As the more I study, the more I realize we're probably going to go back and overlap and look at some of the past and into the present and probably look at the future at different points. I don't know how long this is going to take. You know, the more I study it, the bigger it gets, and the more I see a need for it, and the more the Lord has settled me that this is exactly what we need at this time as a church. You know, we can trace our past back to 1918, which is our organization date. That's when the church come together. That's when charter members come together, and they called for an organization of the church. And Presbytery was present. And as I look at that, I think it's what a blessing to see and to know you belong to a church that is scripturally set up. That is, it follows God's pattern. God left us a pattern for His church. You remember He told Simon Peter, He said that He was going to establish His church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. We're living in a day and time where the word church is almost despised. You hear a lot of people talk about how I don't want to belong to any organized religion. That I just serve God my way, do it my way, and I'm fine with that. Well, that may sound good, and certainly I don't want to discourage you from being alone with God. We need to be alone with God. Whenever we pray, we need to go in our closet, so to speak, our private place, and really talk to Him. Listen, I riding down the road, I talk to the Lord like He's my best friend. I hear people say, well, I hate riding alone. Well, you're looking at one, I haven't rode alone yet. I ride with my best friend. And we talk, we commune. He gives me verses to meditate upon, and I talk to Him about things that's going on in my day. And it is such a blessing to have a relationship with God. But we're living in a time where people think that there's no need to even go to church or be part of the church. And that's just not the case. The Lord said it's through the church He receives honor. World without end, amen. He gets glory through the church. And He did establish His church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. Now, there's a lot of false stuff out there. We can read where there's ministers of Satan, there's synagogues of the devil, and, you know, that would be anything that does not glorify Christ. And that's why a lot of people are very confused. And it's our job to not be confused. It's our job to let our light so shine, to be that city set on the hill that when somebody sees Clear Branch, They say, that is a different church than anything I'm aware of. That is something that if church is good, then that must be God's church. And so that's what I want, and that's the birth of my heart, is for us to see the great need to be different in this time, to be what God would have us to be. So God did leave us a pattern, and it's good to go back and trace our past, go back into our past and find that we were established according to Scripture. Now, I do believe we are scripturally founded as a church, even though some of the history between the church on the shores of Galilee, and I hear people say we can trace our lineage all the way back to the shores of Galilee. Well, some of that has to be taken by faith. There's just not history that connects us all the way back to the shore of Galilee. But there is history that you can go back and you can find the Lord's church throughout history. In fact, I'm going to point out some of that tonight. I thought about how in our Bible we find where that Jesus established His church. He called out His apostles. He set up even, the treasury office. I believe that was Judas's responsibility. And yet, we know that he had a devil and he misused that office in probably more ways than one, but he betrayed the Lord. So there's been, Satan's had a seat since the beginning. And even today, we have to be aware that there's those who may rise up among us that would cause conflict, that would cause us to murmur, to cause us to become, unstable. I don't believe that the gates of hell can prevail against God's church. I do believe that a church, a local church body, can be destroyed from within. I believe that, certainly that we could begin to not do the will of God and see a day where the doors will close. I hope we never see that. I hope we hear when the Lord comes back. But I do believe that you can go back and you can at least find in Scripture where Jerusalem was set up. The church was baptized with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And whenever that church extended an arm and a church was established, that became God's church. And whenever Antioch was established out of Jerusalem, and then you had men sent out from there and other churches, the Ephesian church and the Philippian church, and then we've got these seven churches in Asia that were established. They were seven actual churches in Asia. Although we do look at that, and God has He shadowed different church ages. Each one of those churches dealt with different problems. Each one of those churches had different responsibilities. Each one of those were dealing with different situations, but they shadow church ages down through the time. And so these seven churches were established and were the Lord's churches. Now, we have been considering that great cloud of witnesses. And so in doing that, we went back and we looked at maybe some of the good, faithful church members have been a part of Clear Branch. If you go back and look in Scripture, you find some that were very devout, and they stopped the mouth of lions and were sown asunder and all that, become martyrs. I want to give you a history book to consider, and that's what it is. It's a history book. And you take it for what it's worth. If you like to read, it's one that our brother James Broome made a study and said you don't want to read it before you go to bed, because it's one of those that just give you that eeriness that, my goodness, what we went through. But the Church in the Valley of Piedmont is the name of it. And that is, they were very, very successful, extremely successful around the year of 200 A.D., 202 A.D., somewhere along in there. You can find that history. And that was a church that went into the mountains, on the Italian side of the Alps. They went into a valley there that was very protected by mountains. And they just basically established their own little community. I say little. It was thousands of people there. And they had a church established. It was a very sound church, even going back and look at the history and how it was written. I tell you, very good things written there. But this was in the age of the first letters, no doubt, perhaps the church at Smyrna or perhaps the church at Pergamos around that age. This is the age of the martyrs. And of course, in the book, you've got a lot of history of things they went through. There was one instance where a Christian was taken and he was thrown into the amphitheater with a leopard. And that leopard began to tear him so viciously, so violently, that somebody in the crowd cried out, "He's baptized in his own blood." And that became a battle cry for the Roman Catholic Church against the church at Piedmont, that we will baptize them in their own blood. And that's exactly what they tried to do. They tried to stamp that church out. And the more they did, the more that it seemed to grow and the more it seemed to prosper. And it lasted and went on like that for hundreds of years, to the point where in 1400 A.D., by then the little community had established a college, it established schools, and they had won a lot of people to the Lord. A lot of people to the Lord. But that's whenever war was declared upon them, and on Christmas Day, they were massacred ultimately, and I'm not giving you all the book, just give you some highlights, but massacred with the sword. And finally, there was some remnants there. They were chased up into a cave, and they stopped up the mouth of the cave, and they filled it with fire and suffocated them with smoke. And anybody come out, they threw them back into the fire. And that supposedly was the end, but it wasn't. There were some that escaped to be able to give us that history. Now, I'm not going to stand here and preach history to you. I just want you to understand that God's people have suffered through the years. And the more that they suffered, the more zealous they become to do the work of God. The more that they had to face things like leopards, things like lions, things like the sword, things like fire, being burned at stake, being boiled in oil. The more they had to face things like that, the more devout they seemed to become. Now, that was a different day. We're talking about presently tonight, Clear Branch presently. That we're in a different day, we're in a different age. None of us have ever been threatened like that. None of us have ever resisted unto blood, as Scripture would say. We may never be called upon by the man to do that. I don't know, we could. Certainly when you see things shaping up in our government the way that they are, and the hostility and the anger in our country, even toward anything that resembles Christianity, there's a great hostility. We could see things like that at some point, but we have not. And so we shouldn't sit here and worry about things like that that never have happened to us. We may never be called upon to suffer like that. We are called upon, however, to wake up. And that's what I want to deal with tonight for just a little time. We talk about coming together, that presently that's what God wants us to do as a church, is we are to come together, we are to be together, we are to operate as one body, one movement, and any time that we do not come together, we in some way handicap the body. But tonight I want us to take the thought of waking up. Last Wednesday, even though I kind of left the subject, and I felt like it was good to do that because of the circumstances, we did look at how it's high time that we awake. And I tell you, that goes right along with what I want to try to preach and talk about tonight. I want to expound on that thought. The Laodicean age, which is the age that we are, I don't believe anybody would deny that. We are the age that is high time we awake. We are the age that he says that we are blind. So we have to consider that in some ways we are blind. In some ways we are not seeing what we should be seeing. We are not seeing the same things that the other church ages was able to see. We're not seeing spiritually like we should. And so he says, back in verse 18, the latter part of it, he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Just as the age of the martyrs had an enemy trying to consume them, we too have an enemy that's doing, he wants to consume us. The only difference is his tactics. His tactics has changed drastically over a couple of thousand years. It has changed drastically. And rather than feed us to the lepers, He's lulling us to sleep spiritually. We look and we think, well, things seem pretty good. Could be better. Could be worse. I believe that's how most of us look. Even if you could leave Clear Branch and you could go to Mars Hill, you could leave Mars Hill and you could go to any other church, and I believe we kind of look at things, well, things could be better, but things could be a lot worse. And we've kind of taken that ho-hum attitude that, you know, let's just get through the day, let's just get through the week, let's just get through the month, let's just get through the year, and maybe we'll see somebody get saved, maybe we won't, maybe we'll see a good spiritual revival, maybe we won't, and just kind of blinded a little bit. Now, again, when you look around, things seem pretty good. We don't have pressing issues like maybe they did here, even back in these other church letters, Smyrna. They had to be called upon to be martyrs. We hadn't had to do that. So things seem pretty good. We seem to have what we need, but we are blind to our spiritual needs. And so there's a call that we wake up. There's a call that we anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see. The Laodiceans had a medical school. Go back to the church at Laodicea. According to history, again, they had a school, and one of the things they were famous for was eye salve. And Miss Jackie, I thought it was very interested in studying that. Basically, it is our recipe for pumpernickel bread now. That's what they used for eye salve, and they were very, very famous for that. And by the time they took that, I guess, dough or batter, and they put it on their eyes, and it supposedly helped sore eyes and helped you be able to see better. And so the Lord, no doubt, is pointing out to them and saying, you need to anoint your eyes with eye salve. You need to be able to see the things that I want you to see. So I believe spiritually, again, right now, Clear Branch presently, and we're not going to worry about anybody else because we are Clear Branch. One of the things we need to understand is that we have tender eyes. We need to anoint our eyes with eye salve, and we need to await because it is high time that we do so. Let us understand this is a spiritual blindness. Let us understand that God has things He wants us to see. The only way we're going to see it is that we search with all of our heart. You cannot come half-heartedly. Again, that's what He's kind of pointing out to them here. He says, look, I know your works. You're not cold and you're not hot. But He goes on to say, I would that thou were either cold or hot. You're not doing anybody any good riding a fence. We need to understand that. We're not going to help very many people if we're trying to hold on to the world with one hand and hold on to God with the other. But that's the way it's been, no doubt, most of my life or all of my life. That's kind of where we are. We're that age. We don't want to offend anybody. There's a TV show that me and Sabrina kind of wonder what happened to it. At one time we watched it called The Biggest Loser. Y'all know, y'all familiar with that, with the overweight people that try to lose weight. And I wonder, well, why did they take it off? It was very, very popular. Well, the reason is because people were suing them. Because it was politically incorrect. We've become an age of offenses. Everything offends, so we try to just keep to ourselves and let's don't do anything to offend anybody. I want to tell you something about the gospel, about God's word. It is intended to cut. God's word is intended to cut. Now we're to speak the truth with love. But I tell you what, you can love somebody and tell them the truth, and it might hurt them. But it's the truth that'll set you free. And we've got to embrace that, Brother Mike. We've got to embrace the fact that this is the only thing gonna do our world any good. This is what our church is here for. It's not for anything else but to lift up the Word of God. We are here as a pillar and the ground for the truth. So look over, if you will, Matthew 26. Verse 36, Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. You know, that's a sad story. True story, but it's a sad story. You have Jesus, and he's about to go through the hardest thing that this world has ever experienced, to be crucified. And even though we picture how bad the crucifixion was, and it was terrible, and I don't want to take away from that, being nailed to the cross and crucified and being able to stare upon his bones and have someone spit on him and so weak he couldn't even carry his own cross. All those things mount up, but he had the sins of the world placed upon his shoulders, placed upon him, so that when God looked down upon him and saw the travail of his son, he said, I'm satisfied with the payment that Jesus has offered for the sinner. So he had so much on him. Had the disciples been paying attention, Brother Ryan, I believe that they would have recognized that Jesus, his countenance had changed. He's no longer, his countenance is completely changed. It said he began to be sorrowful. And he even expressed to them, Brother Mike, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. What I am bearing at this moment is about to kill me. It's more than I can even handle, and I need you to pray with me. I need you to pray that you will not enter into temptation. That's what I need out of you, church. This is his church. So what I need out of you, church, I need you to be watchful. I need you to be praying. But the Bible said that they closed their eyes and went to sleep. The message became urgent. The mood was different than it had ever been. The danger had been amped up 100-fold. And I'm just grabbing a number out of the air there. But it had been amped up. And the disciples slept on because their eyes were heavy. I tell you what, sometimes my eyes get very heavy. Sometimes they do. Sometimes you say, well, I just can't help it. You know there's things that can happen in a moment that will wake you up from that sleep. And you will not even remember that you were sleeping. When men entered into the Garden of Gethsemane with swords and with spears, don't say anything about them sleeping anymore. In fact, they hopped up and they were ready to go to war. what happened. Peter jumped up and he smote off the servant of the high priest's ear. Cut it off. His mood changed. Why is that? Why was it he's fallen asleep 1 minute because his eyes are so heavy he cannot stay awake? And the next minute, he's up and he's alert and he's ready to fight to the death. The thing is, he recognized something has changed. The circumstances have changed. The time has changed. You know, there's other times when men wanted to kill Jesus and the Bible said they couldn't kill him because his time had not yet come. But at this moment, the time had changed. It was his time. The time is at hand. Time's changed now. I believe we're living in a day where our time is changing. It's no longer the way it was 5 years ago. It's no longer the way it was 10 years ago. Times are changing. Things are changing in ways that we've never seen before. Now it was too late to watch and pray. Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? I need you to get up. I need you to pray because so that you will not enter into temptation. Temptation is about to come into this garden upon you and you need to be strengthened. But instead, they did not recognize the urgency and they went to sleep. Okay, let's look at that spiritually just a minute. The great task that we face today, the great task that Clear Branch Church faces presently is to get our eyes working again. To start seeing exactly what the Lord wants us to see. Satan is lulling people asleep all around us. And I say that very kindly because it might not just be all around us. It might be us too. And I'm not talking about going to sleep and taking a nap. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes physically we need a nap. Sometimes physically we need to just go to bed. But I'm talking about spiritually seeing what the Lord wants us to see. You think about family. Let me just point out family, man. Family does not get the attention it calls for a lot of times. There's a reason, because we've kind of been lulled to sleep on. But the Bible's very clear. It says that a house will fall if hands become idle. If we get sleepy, if we stop paying attention to our home, we have an enemy that's ready to tear it apart. So that's what we're facing, is just idleness. We're not paying attention like we should. Our neighbors many times going unnoticed because we're not stopping and taking the time to look at what's going on around us. We're spending the time doing what we want instead of spending the time praying about temptation. I want to ask you something. Is any temptation taking you lately that you know is there and you allowing it to happen and you haven't took the time to get concerned about it like you should? A lot of times we know there's things going on in our lives that shouldn't be there and we don't take the time to stop and address it because it doesn't seem to be all that urgent. The problem with sin is it never seems to be urgent until it's urgent. Until the bottom falls out. Stop and look and see your light. Is it so shining or is it covered up by a bushel of carnal concerns? After all, that's what we want. See, Clear Branch is more than a building. It's more than just some good people in love. Clear Branch, God has established a candlestick here at this place. And when you got saved, He gave you a light. And when you were baptized, no doubt, you come and you placed your light on the candlestick. And He said, you let that light so shine. And whenever I put mine on the candlestick, you put yours on the candlestick, and we all put ours on the candlestick. It shines. And the world sees it. That's what we're supposed to be. We are the light of the world. If we're not careful, we will cover it up with a lot of carnal concerns. We need a present mission. You go back and you look at the church, always had a mission. Always had a direction to go. Always had people they were concerned about. A lot of times we don't even have anybody on our heart we're concerned about. Just we kind of throw out a blanket statement. I say we, let me change, I have gone out, Lord, please help the lost. If we'll look to the Lord, Lord will help us put a face on who we're praying about. He'll help us get concerned about specifics. We need a mission. You know, in 1918, the church come together because God put it on their heart. Wasn't long, they had a mission to build a church house, a church building, and to move forward and to be a blessing in this community. And boy, this thing has grown. This church has grown. We need a spiritual vision, need a current goal. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. It starts with repentance from lukewarmness. If we're lukewarm, we are going to have to make a decision to either be cold or hot. Because somewhere in the middle is not doing anybody any good. Must be willing to apply that eye salve so that we can see. It's not the world that needs this message. No, we think, oh yeah, we live in a day and time where the whole world's lukewarm. No, we don't. Clearbrands don't need to worry about the whole world being lukewarm. We need to be considering what God wants for us. What does God want for Clearbrands? He wants us to be concerned and be on fire for Him. Let our light so shine. I'm thankful that I'm not trapped in a cave somewhere filling with smoke. That's horrible. You go and read those history books and there's others, the Trail of Blood or Tears, and you find things that those old church members went through that's just, it's unbelievable they stayed faithful. You think about back in 1918 when 13 people come together, I'm sure down the line somewhere there's some hard times right here. And you have people come together and work together with the grace of God. They moved forward and got through that and things just got better. But it's not us that has to go back and worry about what went on back there. We need to be concerned about right here and now. He's called me to open my eyes and see what I've been missing. To worship God with in spirit and in truth. Can I ask you something as we close tonight? You individually, when you come to this place, do you feel like you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth? In order to do that, you have to be completely truthful where you stand between you and God. Have you been worldly all week and then you come to church and you turn on the spiritual switch, so to speak? Or are you living every day a bright and shining light? So the people around you can see that what we have is different than anybody else. To worship God, you must do it in spirit and truth. Unless we see that and repent, we pose little threat to the enemy whatsoever. Last verse on.